Welcome, my friends, to Give Me Credit for another week. I'm John Ng, and that's John Mackey. John, I want to start the program just a little bit on the maybe unconventional side as compared to how we've started it before, if
okay.
You don't mind.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about maybe just kind of applaud your efforts. When I first met you, I was dealing with credit repair myself.
Right.
And I've been very open about that to our listeners. I'd gone through a divorce, had gone through a short sale, which, of course, is a 1-2 punch for so many different people. That just does your credit no good, no matter what you say. And I don't remember what the number was that I first came up with. It seems to me it was in the five somewhere.
Yeah.
And I did some transactions this week. Now, remember, you and I met probably about a year ago, maybe.
It's pretty close. Yeah, yeah, it's been about a year.
And through your efforts and some of those things, I was I had to make a transaction with a car this week. And,
okay.
And so I, you know, I had to go find a loan. And I went in with hesitation, you know.
You did. So you went in with a little apprehension?
I went in with a lot of apprehension because the last time I got a car loan, I think I got it by the skin of my teeth, actually. And when I sat down and I was going through a credit union, which is maybe just a little bit easier in one way or another to get a loan, but I sat down with a gentleman who was going to be the loan officer for this particular case. And he said, well, let's take down some information. It's very casual, very, very, you know, just it was just a nice little conversation. And I was waiting for him. He said, well, let's check that credit score and we'll see where things fall. And he went, oh, good, 720.
Unbelievable. That's great.
And I just, my jaw just dropped. And I said, are you sure you're looking at mine? And he said, yeah. Now, I thought it was running about a 680, something like that, which is the bottom of high. You know,
the bottom of...
There's average. It's
above average.
It's above average.
It's into the excellent range right now.
And so I was really thrilled. You know, I was thinking, well, I didn't know where that was going to fall in his estimation. But, you know, folks, here's what I wanted to say as we start the program. It works. It works. We have her testimony over and over again that you just need somebody who knows what they're doing to put their hands on it. So on behalf of my wife and I, we want to say thank you. We're driving a new car. Well, not a new car, but we were able
new car to you.
We were able to secure a loan as a result of some of the work that you've done, cleaning those things up. And I'll tell you, it was just fantastic. And John, the thing that I felt was I felt almost invincible for a moment.
So when you went in, you were apprehensive, but when you heard your score, How did that make you feel?
You know, it was amazing because I know the pressure of a credit score that is not going to allow me, like I've said so jokingly, they won't let me buy a Big Mac at McDonald's, you know, with cash because my credit score is
afraid of your money. Huh?
Exactly. And what I felt was this elation that what I thought was a tunnel that would never, ever be cleared out, came back sparkling.
I've talked with other people, too, that once they see or hear their score or they're able to purchase what they've set out to purchase, a home, a vehicle, they find that there's this huge weight lifted that they didn't even know was on their shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew that they had credit issues,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't know how it was processing through their psyche.
Well, you know, what I found interesting was with that credit score, the rest of the process just was, there was nothing where they have to go into a smoky back room and discuss this over, you know. And I'll be honest with you, when I bought my car 2 years ago, which I sold to buy this car, but when I bought that car 2 years ago, that's exactly what they did. In fact, I was at that dealership for more than 3 hours as they were trying to negotiate ways that they could put me into that car as a result of an improving credit score, to be sure. But not a credit score that was going to allow me to make any efforts. What I also found interesting, and here's another part of this that I wanted to share with you, that particular credit union offers a credit card that you can use. And so I said, well, perchance, what is the interest rate that I would be paying as a result of the credit score. And I'm under obligation not to divulge what they offered me in that. But when I watched how deeply it affected the credit score, affected that interest rate,
right,
and that they saw me as far less of a risk, and so from the high to what they were offering me was almost a 10% spread.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, and so I just my jaw just dropped again, and I thought, I am amazed. And so I had a little conversation, because I built quite a rapport with the guy who was working with me, and I had a little conversation with him about the effects of a credit score on virtually everything that you do. And he said, it is an all-important number. And he said, if you've got a good one, maintain it. If you've got a poor one, clean it up. And I said, well, I got to tell you, we do a program that has this very thing in mind. So, John, that's my stage I'm setting for you today. But it's got to make you feel good that you're seeing some solid victory stories coming out of this.
I am, John. That's obviously my goal in everything that I do, is to make sure that my people, the people that I'm helping, are served correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And to give them the psychological advantages, so that when you're dealing with all these people, you have the ability to then deal with them appropriately.
Yeah.
To include mortgage bankers or loan officers, because we go into the purchase process or credit in general with extremely limited knowledge of everything. And so I appreciate what you're saying. I really do. That means a lot to me, because I get goosebumps when I hear that. And that is more important to me than money. However, that doesn't feed me.
What I wanted it to do, John, was to tell our listeners, if you take the first step, I mean, my story is going to be different than other stories, obviously. And there are going to be people listening right now that have maybe a few more entanglements than I, or a few less.
Right.
But nothing can happen unless they get in touch with you.
And I doubt that there's anything that they're going through that I haven't seen or dealt with already.
Exactly. So, folks, just before we take our first break here on Give Me Credit, let me encourage you to go to the website. That's givemecredit.us, givemecredit.us, and that'll start linking you to John. And, John, I wanted to take this first segment just to encourage people. There is hope, and there is effort on your part that they can use your experience to clean some things up.
Come to me and we'll start standing tall again.
We're going to take a break here, folks. You're listening to Give Me Credit.
John Mackey here, Master Credit Solutions. Thank you for listening to Give Me Credit. But what this brings up is an area in which you might need help. You might need help with your credit report and your credit score. You might need to clean it up. And let me tell you, folks, I've been there. I know there is no shame in this, but let's get the good times rolling again. The only way to do that is to contact me. I need you to call me at 888-417-3400. Let's at least talk. Let's discuss your credit issues. There's no charge in this, and there's no shame. My email address, johnmackey@givemecredit.us. johnmackey@givemecredit.us.
Welcome back to Give Me Credit. I'm John Engen. That's John Mackey. John is the founder president of Master Credit Solutions. John, we've got to revisit our conversation of last week. And I think when we sat down and had our pre-conversation, we could probably call this series Know Your Enemy.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to again bring that up. But yes, I think that's an extraordinary way to describe how you should approach the people that are getting in contact with you as a debt collector. You have to know who these people are, how they operate, and the questions that they're going to ask.
And preparation really makes a difference in even the emotional side of this, doesn't it?
It does. And you have to realize, too, that so often we think we get this question from whomever it is, but we think we need to give a quick response. And what I encourage people to do is to slow down, think about what they're asking, and is it necessary to give it to them? And that's what we're going to go through for the last two segments today.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those phone calls, what they're going to say, the questions that they very well might ask, and what you should say in response to those questions.
All right. Well, let's put on our trunks and dive right in. Where do we start today?
Well, let's talk about, like I said, when a debt collector calls. And what we want to make sure that you folks understand is that you never validate or verify anything. And we're going to get into this as we go along through our conversation here, but you never validate anything.
So let me get an example going. So if they say, can you give me your Social Security number? Yes or no?
No. No. I hesitate. A lot of times they might ask for your last four of your social. I hesitate on that. However, that to me is acceptable if you give your last four of your social. Okay. I know we've discussed this before. It's something I've thought a lot about. They really, you know, if you don't feel comfortable giving it, I don't think it's necessary to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not like giving them the entire Social Security number.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you talking validating the loan or the debt? Are you talking validating addresses?
Yeah, that's where we're going to get to here.
Okay.
Further on down in the segment here. If they start talking to you and they want to start negotiating, never negotiate over the phone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you pay $50 a month for the next 25 years? Well, you probably could. But we never start negotiating over the telephone. It's always done on paper. And this is where it gets a little difficult for the client negotiating with these people. There's an old legal adage, he who represents himself has a fool for a client.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so emotionally invested in this that you forget the proper rules.
Okay.
They don't, because they're not emotionally invested in it.
And from their perspective, they would like you to represent yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they like those off-the-cuff answers that you might give in a hasty moment, ill-thought-out moment, because it gives them advantage.
And as we described last week, how they're going to start, once they get to the point of about to ask for the money, they're going to start asking general questions to try to ascertain whether or not you have the ability to pay and how much. That's why I say you don't answer those questions. And a lot of those questions that they have, I have, that we're going to be describing here shortly. The other thing you don't do is you do not pay them over the telephone. Why? Because if you pay them over the telephone, you have to give them a credit card, or you have to give them a check in their routing number. Well, if you've negotiated a settlement over the phone, and let's say it's 50 cents on the dollar you're paying, and you give them this information, what's to stop them from taking the full amount? You've got nothing on paper to show what the amount was, what was negotiated, over what terms, and who's to stop them from taking the full amount.
Have you heard stories of that happening?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it's a real thing to consider.
Right. This isn't a hypothetical situation.
Right.
This is reality. For everybody, no. For some, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. What's next?
If you do say anything, tell them to send the Dunn letter. Okay, we keep on harping on this for a good reason. Just say, I know you have to send me something per the law. Send it. Now, at that point, they may say, well, what's your address? Then you say, what address do you have for me? Okay, always try to turn this around. You'll hear me in a lot of my conversations, of the last one that I had with a debt collector on behalf of a client, is that he would ask me a question expecting me to answer it, and I would turn it around and ask him a question back. And you could tell by the end of the conversation he was hating that.
Well, it pretty much puts you in control of the conversation.
Bingo.
Or maybe even just levels the field a little more that makes them uncomfortable.
And their whole goal from last week's lessons
right.
is to be in control of that phone conversation.
Exactly.
And if you're asking questions back, it takes the control away. And at that point, be aware that they're probably going to put you on hold so that they can regroup. And now when they come back on, they can now start asking the questions again.
That is an act of intimidation on their part to you, to say, I'm in charge, I'm going to put you on hold?
Yes.
Because that puts you back in the waiting room.
That's right. Mm. And you're going to listen to what I have to say.
Yeah.
As a debt collector saying it.
Wow.
So you're trying to flip it around.
Okay.
If they do something that you don't like, let's stop being Minnesota nice. Go ahead and hang up. That's okay. You don't have to talk to these people. There's nothing legally obligating you to pay, or I'm sorry, to talk with these people.
Okay.
So you just politely say goodbye, and you hang up. Mm. They can't call you again. The other thing, excuse me, that we could do at that time, let me know, and you can send them a cease and desist letter. They can no longer talk to you.
Can they communicate by mail?
Not if you send them a cease and desist.
Okay.
Only if they're going to be changing the status of that. In other words, can they send you lawsuit information or information that they're going to drop the case? Or yes, then they can. But they can't call you to harass you about this or to talk to you about this.
We're talking to John Mackey. We're talking about know your enemy and the ability to actually discern what they're going to do when they spend this time on the phone with you. And we've got to take a break. Our time is just
zooming
by. Time
goes too fast.
You're listening to Give Me Credit, and again, if you'd like to go to the website, it's givemecredit.us. That's givemecredit.us. Stay tuned. We're coming back on Give Me Credit.
John Mackey here, Master Credit Solutions. Thank you for listening to Give Me Credit. But what this brings up is an area in which you might need help. You might need help with your credit report and your credit score. You might need to clean it up. And let me tell you, folks, I've been there. I know there is no shame in this, but let's get the good times rolling again. The only way to do that is to contact me. I need you to call me at 888-417-3400. Let's at least talk. Let's discuss your credit issues. There's no charge in this, and there's no shame. My email address, johnmackey@givemecredit.us. johnmackey@givemecredit.us.
Welcome back to Give Me Credit. I'm John Engen. John Mackey is the founder and the president of Master Credit Solutions. You can get in touch with John by going to the website at givemecredit.us.
Yes.
Givemecredit.us.
Or if you've got questions, please call me.
Okay. And give that number again, John.
Yep. 612-567-2459 or 888-417-3400.
We'll give that phone number again at the end of the program. So if you want to scramble, grab a piece of paper and a pencil, we'll give that again.
Okay.
And in the meantime, you can follow along with us on givemecredit.us. You can go peruse around, and it will give you a hyperlink to mastercreditsolutions.com.
Yes, it will.
All right. John, we're talking know your enemy. We're talking about things that can and cannot happen when that phone rings and somebody's asking you to pay up.
Right. The biggest questions, one of the biggest questions that I get is, what can I answer? What can I say to these people? And here's what I advise, is that when they ask, what is your address, ask them back, what address do you have for me? If they have it right, go ahead and acknowledge it. If they don't have it right, you have no obligation to give them the correct address. Mm-hmm. Okay? So be aware of that. But more importantly, what questions shouldn't you answer?
Okay.
And I know that when I've had in the far past had these questions asked of me because it's a medical debt, they would ask questions like, are you paid weekly or biweekly?
Oh, my.
Why do they need to know that?
Yeah, what difference does that make?
Well, they're trying to determine how much money they can get from you.
Okay.
Okay. And most of these questions are based for that reason. Are you paid, how much is your take-home pay? Okay. Is your spouse working?
Now, I remember that one. When I was being, and easily the word harassed fits.
Right.
And how much does she make?
Well, first of all, it's my debt, so she's not involved in this. Yeah.
My question to them was, are you calling her?
Right.
You know, no. Then why are you asking me about it?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I would just say, no comment.
Mm-hmm.
You have no need to know that. But if you say, yes, she is, then they're going to ask you how much, how often is she paid, does she work full-time, part-time? Okay. They might ask you, do you have any other sources of income? Okay, like child support,
mm-hmm.
part-time work,
right.
In-home daycare, and so forth. Again, what is the relevance to this? They have no reason to know this information. Do you rent or own? Because if you own, then they can possibly put a lien on the home.
Mm.
But if you rent, there's nothing to attach it to.
Mm.
So they don't need to know this.
Wow.
Okay. How much do you pay per month?
Mm. The questions you're asking, it seems to me, are, you know, they're trying to gather as much information as they can to see how much they can get out of you immediately.
Right. And remember last week's session, I said one of their mantras is that everybody has the ability to pay in full right now.
Wow.
That's what they believe. Now, if they get into a contest where you simply can't or won't do that, then they'll start taking payments. But that is what their thought is. You have the ability to pay now, so we're going to get it all now. Whether that means you have to borrow from mom or dad or put it on a credit report or whatever. How much is your car payment? Is it current? Make, model of the car. Where do you bank?
So, you know, can I just interject? It does sound like they're not all-knowing.
No, they're not.
They don't have access to bank account information and things like that.
No, but they do have access. Remember many months ago we talked about the different credit reporting agencies, and
right.
Everybody thinks that there's three of them, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Well, there's 40 others. A lot of the other companies pull that information, okay? They extract that information and get that information from wherever. Okay, they may go to these places and get that information.
Mm-hmm.
Also realize is through the Fair Credit Reporting Act, a debt collector has the right to pull a credit report. Now, does that hurt your score? No. But they do have the right to pull it. So when they pull that credit report, what are they going to find? They're probably going to find your current address.
Right.
They're probably going to find where you work. Now they can call your employment and see if they can get information. They might know what type of work you do. And when I was in mortgages, there was a website you could go to find the average salary for that particular position.
Hmm.
So they might know, on an average, what kind of income you make. They're also going to know if you've applied for other credit, which means that if you've applied for other credit, you probably have money to pay for the debt. And that's why you don't answer a lot of these questions. Make them do their work. Don't let them get it for free if they're going to find this information out.
How far are they trying to get on these telephone calls? Are they trying to find a negotiated commitment on your part that you're going to do? They're looking for cash today, right?
Right.
Okay.
They're looking for cash today first. If that's not possible, in fact, that was one of my talking points today here, was that they're going to want the balance completely. And then they might go after a settlement. It typically no more than two payments. Okay, pay me half now and half in, you know, the next month. So at least if they get half now, at least they've got half of it. And they also at that point will have your banking information if you pay them over the telephone. That's why I say you always get this negotiated on paper. Now you could talk about it if you want over the telephone, but don't ever pay anybody over the telephone.
Well, John, I don't think we have time to add any new information to this conversation because we have to add some contact information as well. And that is to get our listeners, you, if you're sitting there and you're saying, I need some help.
Right.
This is your chance to get some help.
Right.
The first phone call, the first consultation, free, just conversation. Talk to John. And, John, again, I need to re-underline that I love the fact that, you know, president, founder, you usually sit in the big leather chair and let all your minions do the work. But the fact is you're the one-on-one person that they're going to be dealing with as you go through this.
I'm the one that's giving the advice. I'm the one that's talking with the debt collectors. And it's kind of odd, I guess, but I enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy trying to even the score.
Mm-hmm.
People don't need to be abused.
No. And, folks, I've heard many of the conversations that John has had, kind of acting as an intermediary, almost an advocate, and it's a very powerful thing. John, just seconds left. Let's get that contact information out.
Telephone number, 612-567-2459. That's 612-567-2459.
Okay.
And then the 800 number is 888-417-3400.
Or you can go to givemecredit.us.
And there's a ton of information there. There's also past programs if they want to listen to those.
Right. Well, folks, that's your opportunity to take some action even today. I took some action about a year ago, and I'm reaping the benefits as we started the program. I'm reaping the benefits of what John was able to do in my situation. I know several others who have felt the same. Let's make it happen today. Check us out today. GiveMeCredit.us. And, John, we'll see you next week.
Next week.